بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 15th of October in the year 2020 Alhamdulillah I spent the session last night discussing the utmost importance of understanding the reality of this world and how often it was mentioned by our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and also the righteous predecessors. So the last thing I mentioned, I'll mention it again. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri wa Zuhduhu wa Mawa'idh, the Beacon of Basra, page 33 of the English translation, he said, the sign of a noble person is that he is swift in performing deeds, whilst the sign of a loser is delaying and postponing. So the great Hasan al-Basri, he's explaining a sign of healthy iman. The sign of the healthy iman is that you are quick in performing deeds. You do not delay. And the sign of a person at loss is that he delays. In fact, there's a report which mentions that our beloved Messenger is reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, procrastination is the flag of shaitan. To delay is shaitan's standard. And if you look at the various deeds, how often are we told to rush? Hayya ala salah. Rush to salah. And of course, the pilgrimage. Our beloved Messenger mentioned, do not delay in performing the pilgrimage. You do not know what will happen, i.e. in the future. So, this is a sign, i.e. that a person should be very time conscious. Hasan al-Basri also addressed the youth, and he said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, iyaakum wa taswifa sawfa af'al sawfa af'al. O assembly of youths, I warn you of procrastination, foolishly saying, soon I am going to do this. Soon I am going to do this. This is in Ibn Abi Dunya in his Qisr al-Amr, number 212. So he's addressing the youth, Hasan al-Basri. The youth is anybody under the age of 30. Or if you take it to the limit, 40. And he said to them, I warn you, iyyakum wa taswifa. I warn you of procrastination. Sofa af'al, saying, I am soon going to do this. I am soon going to do this. He warned you about that. So who's he warning? The elders? No, the youth. Similarly, he said in Bayhaqi in his Zuhd number 12, Ya ma'ashara shabab, alaykum bil akhirati fatlubuha. O assembly of youths, it is upon you to pursue the hereafter. Why? فَكَثِيرًا رَعِينَا مَنْ طَلَبَ الْآخِرَةَ فَأَدْرَكَهَا مَعَ الدُّنْيَا. We have often seen those who pursued the hereafter and reached it, whilst still attaining the world. وَمَا رَعِينَ أَحَدًا طَلَبَ الدُّنْيَا فَأَدْرَكَ الْآخِرَةَ مَعَ الدُّنْيَا. However, we have never seen someone pursue the world and still get the hereafter alongside the world. So these are very precious words from the great Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh. So he's talking again to the youths. And he said, you must, alaykum bil akhirati fatlubuha. You must pursue the hereafter. Meaning this is your ultimate priority. Then he explains something very interesting. We have often, فَكَثِيرًا, often, we have often seen those who pursued the hereafter, they reached it while still attaining the world. So he's actually told you something here. If you pursue the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala gives you the world. Well, then he said, but we have never seen someone pursue the world and still get the hereafter alongside the world. So what's the trick of shaitan? He's exposed. The trick of shaitan is sow your world, and in time you'll sow your akhirat. He's deceived you. Hasan al-Basri goes, that never happens. Never. Because we have never seen someone pursue the world and still get the hereafter alongside the world. So what's the irony? The irony is the youths, they say, look, we need to, you know, get our foot on the ladder. And the response is, then akhirat. And they look at you with that confused look because akhirat, you know, I'm going to sow my dunya first. No. To sow your dunya out, you have to sow your akhirat. If you reverse it, Hasan al-Basri won't, because you're going to lose the akhirat. Thus, the hereafter must always be a priority in our lives. Otherwise, we will have none but ourselves to blame. Career's guidance. They're not going to tell you that, right? Imagine you can go back in time. What's the first thing you should tell the people about to leave school? Make sure that the hereafter is your priority. Right? And then the rest, inshallah, make efforts. But don't put it down. Don't relegate that. As our beloved messenger himself made the following dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ حَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. Do not make the world our greatest concern, nor the extent of our knowledge, i.e. our purpose. This is in Tirmidhi, number 3502. And Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan in his checking of Al-Kalimat Tayyib, number 226. So this is a dua. So if somebody was to ask you, is the dua of the Prophet worthy of a dua? Because it's priceless. What dua did he make? وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرْ حَمِّنَا. Bole Bali Musulman, what dua did the Prophet make? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not make the world our greatest concern. And yeah, you look at some people, that's all they're concerned about. That means they've, shaitan's got them. Meaning it is something that we do think about, but it's down, not very important to us. And then he says, وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا, know the extent of our knowledge. Meaning, don't make it our purpose. This is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's constantly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Don't make the world our greatest concern, nor the extent of our purpose. What's the famous saying? Do you work to live or do you live to work? What's strange is people know these statements and they don't know the revelation. But that's true. That's a true statement. But that's not what the Prophet said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made dua, which is much more important. Are we making this dua? Now think about the duas of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as is but obvious, many pass away when they're still young. Nobody's got a guarantee. In Ibn Abi Dunya, it is Al-Umr wa Shayb, number 42. Uqba Ibn Abi Hakim, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, we were sitting with the Tabi'i, Awn Ibn Abdullah, rahmatullah alayhi, who then said to us, and he was stroking his beard, Ma'ashara Shabab, O assembly of youths, قَدْ رَعِيْنَ الشَّبَابَ يَمُوتُونَ. We have seen the youth dying. فَمَا يُنْتَذَرُوا بِالْحَسَادِ إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمِنْجَلِ. Remember, harvesting is not delayed once the minjal arrives. So let's look at this. So Tabi, student of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Awn ibn Abdullah, famous Tabi, and he's stroking his beard. And this is a sunnah. If you haven't got a beard, then there's no sunnah for you, right? Stroke your chin, right? So anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would stroke his own beard when he was concerned about something. This is one of the reasons that you have a length of a beard. The Tabi'een Awn ibn Abdullah, he was stroking his beard, meaning he was thinking. But why was he thinking? Because there was youths who were sitting around him. Because Ma'ashara Shabab, assembly of youths. The first thing he said is obvious. قَدْ رَعِينَ الشَّبَابَ يَمُوتُونَ. We have seen the youth die. Can anybody deny that? Every year you notice youths die. You know, all the excuses under the sun. Accident, you know, fell ill, whatever, right? Youths die. But then he said something very interesting. فَمَا يُنْتَذُرُوا بِالْحَسَادِ إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمِنْجَرِ. Remember, harvesting is not delayed once the minjal arrives. So what's the minjal? The minjal is a hand tool used in the past to harvest crops. Because once that arrives, he goes, the harvest is not delayed. So what was he referring to? The angel of death. He goes, he doesn't look at age. The venerable Tabi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned this so as to alert them to the fact that a person should not be deluded on account of seeing those whose lifespans have been extended. Those fooling themselves into believing that they would also live to a similar age. This results in a person neglecting many matters in procrastinations and delaying. Shaitan. You see a person, 100 years old, what is shaitan put into your heart? Yeah, that's going to be me. Does shaitan ever say to you, when that youth dies, that's going to be you? Never. Never says that. Well, there's shaitan playing games again. So that's what he was telling him, because the minjal arrives. He doesn't look. The harvest has begun. So when we look at the aged, we should think of them as being the strange ones, that they've reached that age. As the Honorable Sufyan al-Thawri would frequently recite in his old age. So he reached old age, the great Sufyan al-Thawri, and he said, رَحْمَتُ يُؤَمَّرُ وَاحِدًا فَيَغُرُّ قَوْمًا. A single person lives long, thereby tricking his people into doing so. وَيَنْسَى مَنْ يَمُوتُ مِنَ الشِّبَابِ. Whilst conversely, those who die young are forgotten. SubhanAllah. In Abu Nu'aym al-Hilyat, number 10,836. So let's look at this. So Sufyan al-Thawri, he reached old age. He got to the age of 90, I believe. And what did he start saying? In his old age. One person lives long, he tricks his people into doing so. What did he mean by that? Because people look at him. They go, we're going to live that age. Then he said, وَيَنْسَى مَنْ يَمُوتُ مِنَ الشِّبَابِ. Those who die young, they're forgotten. And he was saying that in his old age. Saying, don't look at me. I'm the odd one again. A strange one. Remember the young who've died. Because that's what shaitan does. He goes, yeah, you've got 30 years, at least 40, 50 years. Look at that sheikh, he's still alive. You're going to be like him. What about the 100 who've died before him? Have you forgotten them? Come on. Hasan al-Basri, he addressed a mixed gathering in Bayhaqi in his Zuhd number 500. Ya ma'ashar al-shuyukh, O assembly of elders, ma yuntathiru bizzar'i idha balagh, what is expected to be done with crops once they ripen? They responded, al-hasad, the harvest. He responded, ya ma'ashar al-shabab, O assembly of youths, إِنَّ زَرْءَ قَدْ تُدْرِقُهُ الْآحَةُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَبْلُغْ. Verily, is it also not true? Crops can also be stricken with misfortune before they ripen. Bayhaqi in his Zuhd number 500. So look how beautiful. This is how they talk to the elders and youth. So the elders, he said, when crops ripen, what happens? So even the youth will give you the answer to that. Well, it's time to harvest. So what was he talking about? Agriculture, right? He was telling them, your time is due. He's coming. Well, then he turned to the youths, because they were thinking, well, you know, we've still got seeds, we still a few, like maybe a little plants come out. He turned to them and he says, is it not true that crops can be stricken with misfortune before they arrive? The youths went, yes. Look how they're waking these people up, right? Whether you're young or old, it doesn't matter. Don't think that you've got some sort of, you know, guarantee with the angel of death. And look how beautiful that is. Isn't that true? Crops fail. So what is the sign of a crop failing? It means the youth have died. That's why Allah Ta'ala makes crops fail. But when the crops ripen, they've reached their age, now it's time for them to go anyway. Similarly, Abu al-Malih, rahmatullah alayh, in Abu Nu'aym al-Hiliyah 4-87, he said, Maymoon ibn Mihran once said to those around him, Ya ma'ashara shababij alu nashatakum wa shababakum fi ta'atillah. O assembly of youths, use your energy and youth in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ma'ashara shuyukh hatta mata. O assembly of endless, when? O assembly of elders, when? So now look how one of the Tabi'in is addressing the audience. He says to the youth, use your energy and youth in obedience. Why? Because the aged haven't got the energy anymore. You ask the aged people, what do they say? Because I can't do what I want to do. I haven't got the strength. For example, can they go and do Umrah? No. The only way they can do it now is if somebody helps them. Can they even go to Jummah, some of them? No. Unless somebody takes them in a wheelchair. So the youth, he addresses them, use your energy in obedience before you lose that. Then he turned to the elders and what did he say? Hatta mata. When? In other words, the youth, you know, I'm giving them some words of wisdom because when you're going to wake up, because you're already one foot in the grave, because you don't even need Nasiyah. And yet, elderly people, now you notice, none of tracks. You know, we were back home many moons ago, coming back from somewhere, I don't know where we were coming back from, middle of the night. And all of a sudden, we bumped into one of our uncles, one of the elders. And we were shouting to the uncle, what are you doing here? He goes, I just come back from Islamabad. And he goes, why? What? He's like, collecting rent. Right? And this was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Complete darkness, we bumped into. And I thought, he's about 80. And he's gone to Islamabad to collect rent. Right? And I was thinking to myself, is that what he should be doing at this age? Think about that. And yeah, mashallah, you know, he still did his salat and everything, but I just found that very strange at all. Where's his sons? Right? And again, there you go. As the saying goes, use it before you lose it. How sad it is therefore to read that our beloved messenger went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the old man is like a youth in his worldliness, even should his collarbones twist from age, save those that are pious. وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ. And how few are they? Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 24. So let's look at this. So our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the old man, there's an illness in the old man. He remains a youth when it comes to the world. So imagine, knees are gone, neck's gone, brain's gone, everything's gone. But he's still Zwan. Zwan for what? Dunya. He still got it. He's Shabab. Right? The whole man is like a youth in his worldliness. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if his collarbones twist, meaning if he reaches even extreme old age, he's still Zwan. But then he said, except the pious. And then he recited a verse. Part of a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مَّاهُمْ. And how few are they? Meaning the elders with brains, there's very few of them. This is recorded in Hakim al-Tirmidhi in his Nawadir al-Usul number 79, Ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhd number 87, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 29 of the New English Translation. So what does that mean? It means that this is a part of madness in the children of Adam. They get old, but their attachment to the world never gets older. In fact, one report says it gets stronger. But what's interesting, you notice when the person gets older, he has different phases. When he's young, sports. When he gets married, money. When he gets his children, now it's like land. Like property. And then you think, I what? And then when he gets old, that doesn't leave him. Right? Because what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Then he drops dead, leaves everything. Then he wakes up. But what point of his waking up once he's dropped dead? Right? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, mankind is asleep. When they die, they wake up. Meaning that most of the people, they just, you know, sleepwalking through life. Astaghfirullah. Thus, it is befitting that the state of the Muslim should be as Abdullah ibn Umar said. What did the great Abdullah ibn Umar say radiallahu anhu? إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرُ الصَّبَاحَ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرُ الْمَسَاءَ. When you reach the evening, do not expect to reach the morning. When you reach the morning, do not expect to reach the evening. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 6416. Which one of us is acting upon that advice? Somebody goes, you prayed Isha. So basically, you're not going to reach Fajr. Be honest. Do you believe that? Right? This is what you think. Well, it's possible, isn't it? is possible. That means that, you know, 99.999% you're going to live till, that's what you're thinking. That's the wrong way to think. You should be the other way. He goes, when you reach the evening, do not expect to reach the morning. If you have that mindset, will you be bothered about dunya? Think about that. And when you reach the morning, don't expect to reach the evening. This is actually part of the hadith. The beginning of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ put his hand on Abdullah ibn Umar's shoulder. And he said to him, oh, the son of Umar, live in the world as if you are a traveler. And then he added this, Abdullah ibn Umar. The Prophet put his blessed hand on my shoulder. He goes, live in the world as if you're a traveler. Now, why did he mention traveler? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when you're traveling, how much do you take with you? You know, you only see, you know, crazy people with 10 suitcases. Usually, you even think, I just need one suitcase. In fact, is it possible for me not to take a suitcase? I'm just sick of taking luggage. People get sick of it. And you get some people taking no luggage. Walks straight on. Well, just passport. Right? But if you take luggage, headache. You notice that. The weighing starts. You're going over, mate. Oh, come on, brah. Come on, brah. I've been using these airlines for 30 years. Bayan starts. He goes, sorry, mate. You're going to get charged. What's the analogy? The analogy there is make life easy for yourself. If you're traveling, travel light. Don't travel heavy. When the great Abu Darda radiallahu anhu in Bayhaqi in his Shu'ab al-Iman, so his wife asked him, why don't you ask for authority? And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, ahead of me lies a valley and the heavily burden will not be able to cross it. So he used the same analogy. He goes, why do I want authority? More headache, more weight. And he goes, how am I going to struggle through the valley which is ahead of me? I want to go light. Think about that. As the Honorable Imam Ghazali beautifully deconstructed. So this is it. His Ihya in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 31 of the New English Translation. Know that whoever has two absent brothers and is anticipating the return of one of them the following day, and of the other in a month or a year's time, he will not make preparation for the one coming in a month or a year's time, but only for the one whose advent is expected tomorrow. For preparation is occasion when something is expected soon. Look how he's broke it down. Somebody goes to you. Your uncle's coming, you know, he's coming to you to visit you. When is he coming? He'll be here tomorrow. What do you start doing straight away? Battle stations, isn't it? Right? You know, it's get house sorted, get bread sorted, get this, get the food, this, that. Phone your family, the uncle's coming. If the phone call comes, because I'm coming, but I'll be coming next year. What do you do? He goes, that is the problem with the children of Adam. They treat their life like their uncle who's coming after the year. I'm going to die. Don't worry about it. Plenty of time. But the intelligent one goes, you idiot, right? Get everything sorted now because he's coming. Look how beautifully he deconstructed the whole issue. The great Imam Ghazali. Which one is this? The one who's waiting for his long lost uncle after 10 years. Or the one who's coming tomorrow. Subhanallah. Similarly, to finish, the Honorable Imam further elucidated another part of his work. This is in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 142-3 of the English translation. He who amasses the world and cleaves to the appetites is likened to the silkworm. He keeps spinning until he is encased alive. Then he longs to be let out but finds no rescue. Finally he dies, damned for what he has done to himself. Stop in the report. So he goes, this is the illness. Takathur, you're doing it. What you're not supposed to be doing, right? Piling up. How's my bank account? How's my property, right? You're amassing your wealth and you're cleaving to the appetites. He goes, your likeness, he said, is like the silkworm. So what does the silkworm do? Reduces silk from his backside, which is interesting. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, the sweetest drink and the finest cloth comes from the backside of insects and creatures. So why did Hazrat Ali say that? Because that's your dunya, coming out of backsides. Right? Honey comes out of the backside of a bee, sweetest drink. Silk, finest, where does that come from? Backside. Allah has taken everything out of the backside and you're falling in love with it. Anyway, let's get back to this, right? He goes, he keeps spinning until he's encased alive. Spinning, what happens? Cocoon. Then he's trapped. He dies, damns himself for what he has done. Then Imam Ghazali said, until the angel of death separates him from everything he loved in one stroke, leaving the chains upon his heart still attached to the world. So what's happened? Imam Ghazali said, you die. But because you've been dragged away from something you love, it leaves a severe impact on your heart, even though you're dead. Indeed, longing for the world veils from meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's going deeper. He goes, if you long for the world, there's a hijab between you wanting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, with the hijab, the fire of hell overtakes, since fire overtakes only he who is veiled. Then he quotes the proof in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Surah 83, verse 15 and 16. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Qalla innahum ar-rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun thumma innahum lasalul jaheem. Nay, verily from their Lord that day will they be veiled, then they will burn in the inferno. The levels of torment of the fire are commensurate with the pain of the veiling. So you have to break it down. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, the more you're attached to the world, the more the veil is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that bit, mashallah, you can understand. Then he said, this veiling, eventually the fire will burn that person with the veil, because the fire overtakes only he who is veiled. And then what does Allah Ta'ala say? He clearly says it. Verily from their Lord that day will they be veiled. Then what does he say? Then they will burn in the inferno. Then he said, the levels of punishment of the fire are commensurate with the pain of the veiling. Then he added, indeed the pain of the veiling from their Lord is sufficient without any fire added. Though how much more when added? If somebody was to say to you, this is the punishment of the people who disbelieved, they won't see their Lord. Imam Ghazali goes, that's enough punishment. But then he goes, but you got the fire on top of it. Then he said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fasten our ears securely to what he has passed forth into the soul of his messenger. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Love whom you will soon part with it. Love whom you will soon part with it. This is in Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-324, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Abu Nu'aym al-Hiliya 3-253, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi says Hassan in his As-Sahihah number 831. So stop in the quote. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Love whom you will soon part from it. If you love the world, you will regret. In fact, you love anything other than your preparation for the akhirat is regret. Think about that. Your preparation for the akhirat, no regret. I've taken it. It's gone with me. I haven't separated from it. What did I mention yesterday? The hadith. The hadith is in Bazar, Sahih Hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of your family, your wealth, and your deeds are like three brothers. One brother parts immediately upon your breath, last breath. That's your wealth. It's gone. The second leaves you after you're buried. And the third remains with you. So think about that. Look how simple the formula is. You love wealth. You're this madman, mate. Because as soon as you draw your last breath, everything's gone. That goes the quickest. Wealth is gone. Your family, slightly better. They don't leave you. Why? Ghusl, janaza, absorce. Maybe get a dua in every now and again. Soon as you're buried, they go. What's the only brother that's left? Your good deeds. Then the Prophet said, in the grave, when you see your deeds protecting you, you will say to your deeds, I thought that you was the least significant of the three. Meaning, the Prophet is telling us, I've told you, but most of you don't understand what I'm saying until you go into the grave. But if you're intelligent, you will say, no, if this is the most important thing, deeds, I'm going to put my energy into that. Think about that. Money should be the least of your concerns. Pay the bills, all right, don't trust it. Now what? Family, okay, bit of time with them. Now what? Deeds, because they don't leave you. There was a saint, I mentioned this many times. There was a saint, Imam Ghazali's Ihya, and he was on it like a bonnet. So one of the youths, he said to him, dear Sheikh, please, could you give me some advice? I've noticed that you're set in your ways. Anything you can tell me as advice? So the Sheikh told him, yes, I went through phases. And he basically gave a life story. I wanted this in my life. I didn't get it. I fell in love with a woman. I didn't marry her. So I got fed up with life. This is what the Sheikh said. I got fed up with life. And then he says, I'm going to put my love into something that will never leave me. What is that? And he goes, deeds. And then he goes, ever since that day, I'm in love with my deeds. Right? So think about that. Right? He worked it out. And he goes, this is my advice to you. So when you're doing your deeds, they are the most important things that you are doing on this earth. Then Imam Ghazali said, similar to the example cited are the words of the Prophet, laboring like the silkworm that spins unremittingly, only to perish aggrieved in the thick that was spun. Subhanallah. So note how often this subject was talked about. Why? Because people need to hear these things. Get back on track, as they say. What's most important in life? What's strange if you get some, you know, the non-Muslims saying this. When a calamity strikes, what comes out of their mouths? We realize now what is important. So we respond by saying, do you only made a statement when it's a calamity? Right? You realize what is important even in times of ease. Subhanallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من شهد عليهم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خص الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبحوا واصبحوا صدق الله